If you consider this part of your family, you consider this part of the congregation where God has set you in, because the Bible says God sets each member as he wills. If you want to prosper, spirit, soul, and body in the body of Christ, you have to be where God put you. Amen. I do believe with all my heart you can prosper in the world. It does not mean you prosper in the spirit. Because it doesn't matter how much money you've got. Unless you have the Spirit of God in you, you're still lost forever. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you've got to learn to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because money will always lead you to fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're not walking by the Spirit. Amen? Is there something wrong with having money? No. God said it, and I used those scriptures, I think, last week, when he said, all the gold and silver belong to me. Listen to this, and this is in Haggai. Remember I used Haggai last week? Was it last week, right? This is what he says in Haggai 2. He said, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, said the Lord of hosts. In other words, God is able to make all riches abound to you. And that's not only spiritual riches, but the natural riches. But if you use those riches for your selfish advancement in this world. So in other words, you've got enough money and you see your brother and sister hungry over here and can't even feed themselves, but you go out and buy a Cadillac. That's not even a rich car anymore, I guess. I don't get a rich car. I don't know what it would be. Whatever it would be, Mercedes, whatever. And you go do that. The Bible says you're in sin because you haven't met the need of your brother and sister. So you use your wealth for selfish means rather than using it for the glory of the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us, how do we know, or how does the world know, that you are a follower of Christ for your love for one another. It's your love for one another that reveals the truth of your spiritual well-being. Not love of self. Should you love yourself? Certainly. Love the Christ in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're not to hate yourself. Amen? And don't hate what others do. I like what Paul said. Listen, I don't want to know anything about you except Christ and him crucified. Once we get to that place, when we can truly look at one another and we can see Christ in each of us, not for what they didn't do or did do, not what they're doing at the moment. They see the Christ in you. All of a sudden, bam, okay, now we got fellowship together. That fellowship produces the goodness of God in the land of the living. What profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Amen? So, as I was praying again, I believe that today those churches are all evident throughout. As a matter of fact, we could find them all in here. Amen? If we're not, you know, if we wanted to search it out, really look, and this is what I'm hoping each one of us will do over this period of time. I won't get them all done today, obviously. I probably only get one done today. But in that, you will find, if you're diligently seeking him, the Holy Spirit of God is going to reveal to you the truth. Don't deny the truth. Don't set it aside. Don't ignore it. But say, Lord, if this is me, show me. I repent and turn and go back to that what God has called you to in these seven churches. Amen. Now, five of them were the ones that were in trouble. Two of them were doing pretty good. So there's some in here doing pretty good. Amen? Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. I'm doing pretty good. Come on. Say it. I'm doing pretty good. Amen? That's nothing wrong with that. It's in Christ that you're doing it, not in you. Amen? All right, go with me into Revelation. Chapter 1, we're going to start real couple of scriptures, then we're going to go right into the churches, all right? I'm going to start in verse 1, chapter 1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the revelations. One revelation, okay? We look at that. Okay, listen to what he says. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Who's a servant of God? Okay, then he's showing you. This is for you. And this is just me. This isn't Pastor Dave standing up here trying to get you to see something. Jesus is trying to get you to see something. Amen? Hallelujah. This is fun. Things which must shortly take place. Remember what he said in Peter. He said, listen, don't be fooled. A year, he said, what? He said, a day is 1,000 years in God's kingdom. So when Jesus went, 3,000 years is how many days? 3 days. Amen? That's why a lot of people believe he's coming back real soon. We're getting to the end of 3 days. Amen? And we're coming out of here. Okay, let's go on. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Listen to this. Blessed, that means happy. Happy, I'm happy. Say, I'm happy. I'm happy. Amen? You get most of the time what the problem is in the church is we're all going, oh me, oh my. You can be blessed. Amen. In the midst of the worst of days. You can still have the attitude and the words that come out of your mouth and say, Lord, I'm hurting inwardly, but I'm praising you outwardly. Because I am blessed. Amen? Happy. Not happy because of what goes on outside. Because outside things change. One day somebody says, I love you. The next day they say, I hate you. One day somebody speaks well of you. The next day they tear you down. And I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about the world. That's the way it is. So if you're going to find you're being blessed in the people, in the world, you're going to be sadly, sadly sad. But if you start being blessed because Christ says I'm blessed, I'm happy because my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm happy because Jesus Christ saved me. Amen? And if that true happiness pretty soon it starts coming outwardly. And when you can say I'm blessed in the midst of the worst of tragedies, all of a sudden you start to see the goodness and the glory of God manifested. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn to good. Amen? Hallelujah. Blessed or happy is he who, what? Reads. Number one, you got to read it. Hear it. And keep it. You got to read it. You got to hear it. And you got to keep it. Let me read the whole thing. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The time is near. Blessed. Fortunate. Well off. Happy. Blessed. You got to read it. You got to hear it. And you got to do it. The scripture's talking about being a hearer of the word only, but not a doer. Deceiving their own selves, being deceived. We say we're fine, I'm happy, I'm content. And then something goes wrong and we tear down everything that God is trying to build up in us. We start speaking evil. We start believing the evil reports. We start believing those things that you see rather than what God says. And eventually, your life turns to mush. That's building your life on sifting sands instead of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, We want to make sure we read this, we hear what the Spirit is saying out of it, and then obey Him and do what He tells us to do. If you do that, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed in today, but you'll also be blessed when He comes back to take His church home. See, sometimes our whole message becomes down to, what are you going to do for me today, Jesus? Give me a 10-point thing and say, do this, do this, do this, do this, and God will do this. Not always that way. Some things are things you'd think and you would believe, well, obviously I'm not such a bad person. God's going to do this and God's going to do that. No. Well, if I was God, this is what I would do. You're not God. Get over it. God, let me put it this way. God does not think like you. God does not act like you. The key is you think like Him and act like Him. That's where the victory comes from. When we act and think like the world, which we came out of, and unless our mind has been renewed to the truth by reading, by hearing, and by doing, unless that happens, then we're just like everybody else out in the world. We just come to this building on Sunday morning once in a while. And then we wonder how come it doesn't work. There's more to it than just saying, yeah, I go to church. It's actually being the living stone that God has placed in that position for His greater purpose. And in that, as you obey Him, read the Word, hear the voice of the Spirit, do what God tells you to do, all of a sudden you start seeing these things come to pass. What things? Well, the things that God intended for your life, but not only that, God says, I'll give you the desire of your heart. So the things you were trying to get on your own out there, all of a sudden just show up at the doorstep one day. And you have no clue how it got there. All you know is this, my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Why do you think you're going to be happy? Just because you read it and you hear what the Spirit is saying and you do it, you think that's going to make you happy? Not always. It goes against the grain. It goes against the flesh. It goes against the will. And sometimes it becomes a struggle and a battle to overcome and say, how come? And God says, because I love you. Well, if you love me, you would do this. Jesus said, if you love me, you would have done what I asked. Then you would have seen this. It's the way God works. Amen. Hallelujah. How are we doing so far? Going down to verse 7 now, please. No, wait a minute. Excuse me. I apologize. I want you to go to verse 7, chapter 2. He who has an ear. Anybody here got an ear? Anybody missing an ear? He who has an ear. He's not talking about this thing. We all got two of them, or at least we should have. Barring any accident, we all have two ears. So why would He say those who have an ear? Because He's talking to the spirit man. He's not talking to the natural fleshly man. There's people that will hear this message and walk out of here the same as they walked in without even consideration of what this thing said. Many times, I've done this just for fun. I will say to someone, what do you think of the message? I'm not looking for... This is right after service, by the way. They say, give me a hint. What was it about again? Because while they sit there, all their thoughts are about what they're going to do when they get out of here. Preparing their meal, going out, going to the movie, whatever. They're not listening with their spirit ear. And He didn't say ears, He said ear. the spirit man. This isn't about, you know, what you're doing wrong or what you're doing right. I've always believed, and I still believe, it's the Spirit of God who does the transforming. But I have to want and hear what He's saying. And not only hear it, I need to do it. And I can't make excuses why I don't. I don't make justifications why I don't. If He says move one step to the right, which one's my right hand? I got to move right. You make laughter. You say, well, you don't even know what's right. But think about it. How many of us, when He says take one step right, take two steps left? Well, what's the difference? It doesn't matter. Every word of God matters. Every word of God, every dot or tittle, Jesus said, will not fade away, will not pass without fulfilling that which God sent it to fulfill. Amen. Every word that God sent has power in it to change your life, to make it what God intended it to be. He said, he who has an ear or the ability to understand and to know. He wants you to understand, not just read. Okay, now I got to get to this understanding. I don't understand quite what you're talking about. The Bible says if you don't understand, the seed that was sown, Satan can come and take it right out of there. So the key is, okay, Lord, give me understanding. How do I get understanding? By the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. He said, you have not because you ask not. How many times you hear a message and not ask for understanding? I may speak for an hour. One part of that is for you. One part is for you. Maybe the whole message is, praise God. But something in there, God did not call you and choose you to come together not to hear something of life that can transform your life. Every one of us, God brings a nugget to for those who have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Sometimes it's praise God. Oh man, thank you, Jesus. You told me that. You showed me that. You were trying to get me there. Now, the confirmation. Sometimes it's, oh man, I can't stand it when He talks about that stuff. Well, that's a key. There's a problem if you can't take what you hear, what the Spirit is saying to you. There has to be something tweaked, something turned, something just a little bit changed. Then you go, oh, praise, oh God, they're talking to Him. Amen. Oh, they're talking to Him. I don't have to listen anymore. I know them. I know them. I know just what you're like, Beverly. Talking to you today. Listen. Amen. It's true though. But there's something in it, because whenever you pick this up, you read it, you listen, and you do, there's something in here for you. And I wouldn't doubt that there's something in here out of the seven churches that we're talking about. And I know most of us are going to say, yeah, that's me when it comes to the church where He said, oh, you're okay. That's all. But open up your ear to hear. He said, those who have an ear to hear, listen to what He says. He who has an ear, let him hear what Pastor Dave's saying. No, the Spirit says. To who? The churches. Who are the churches? We are the called out ones. The Bible actually translates churches, Ecclesiasti. I can't say that word, never could. It's Greek, but it means called out ones. Called out, what's that mean? He said you're called out of the world, yes. But actually it means to call out from your home and join together in a certain place. That's what the church is. Called out of your home. Amen? What did Jesus say I'm building? He said, I'm building my church. Isn't it? Amen? That means he's called people out. But I guarantee you this, there's some people who were called to the church who aren't in the church. They went back into their homes. Amen? Don't be one of those. Well, the church is this and the church is that. Tell Jesus about it. He's the one that's building this thing. Who's building the church? Jesus is, not us. If you got to complain about Jesus, complain. Tell him. You're not doing a very good job. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this mess in here. You'd have only perfect people. I got to shut up. I got to stop right there because I could. I know. Only the perfect people sit in the front row. After that. Yeah, I know, Virginia. You just agreed with me. I know. Amen. Listen to this. Virginia's sitting in the front row. That's why she says that. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who what? Overcomes. What's it mean to overcome? Have victory over. To conquer. To subdue. Who's he talking about? He who overcomes, who conquers, who subdues. Get victory over. What do you think he's talking about? To him who overcomes, I'll give to eat from the tree of life. This is from the church at Ephesus. This is the first church. And we'll look more into this afterwards. The tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we want to look. We are the church. So he said, he's talking to us, the servants of the Most High God. He's revealing to us the problems that are in the church. Amen? The things that need to be corrected, to be tweaked, to be turned, to help, to turn different. That's what he's trying to do. It's get us to see these things by reading it and hearing what the Spirit is saying to each and every one of us individually and collectively. And then do what he instructs us to do so that we can overcome that which has stopped us from being what he instructed us and wanted us to be. Okay? Go back up to me with me to, in my Bible, says the Loveless Church or the church at Ephesus. Let's read what it says. To the angel, hallelujah, of the church of Ephesus, write. He's saying to the angel with almost every commentary you ever read, every report that comes out is the leader of that church or the pastor of that church. And actually this here translates into messenger. My responsibility is to bring the message that I get from God to you. My prayer every week is, Lord, what do the people need? Not what I want to bring. I want what you need. Along with what you need, I get my needs met. Because I'm just like you. I have battles in the flesh. I have things around me. I've got bad things, good things, all this stuff going on. And it's very easy to get tempted back into that worldly life out there. To live your life out there, and once a week we come in to hear what God's got to say, and then we go back out into the world and be just like the world again. That's tempting. It really is. And it's understandable. But it's not profitable. It doesn't profit you to live that way. We want you to live a good, profitable life. And that's what God was saying. So he's talking to me. But by extension, he's talking to all of us, because he's talking to the servants of the church of Jesus Christ. You are all servants, called to be servants. You're all members of the church of Jesus Christ. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Again, the golden lampstands are a reflection. They're the churches of Jesus Christ. The seven churches he's talking to. First of all, I know your works, your labor, your patience. So in other words, you're doing good works. Amen? How many can say, I'm doing good works? I'm not talking about worldly works. There's things out there we do, and I share this with you before. There's a natural calling and a spiritual calling for every individual called by God. You have a responsibility to live and do what God gave you the gifting to do in the natural realm. If you do it with all your heart, you do it with all your strength, you do it with just like God instructed you to do, eventually what happens, you'll see the prosperity in God's hands working. Matter of fact, he said, whatever your hand sets to do, you can prosper. But then you've got a spiritual calling. God didn't just save you just to go to church on Sunday and then go to heaven in that hour when it's done. He created you. He called you, he chose you, he filled you, and he gave you instructions so you can fulfill the calling that you have on your life in the body of Christ. That's the truth. What you do will depend upon the rewards that you get when you get to heaven. Well, I don't care if I get rewards. Yes, you will. Yes, you will. When you look into those eyes, when you look into the eyes of Jesus, you're going to see these big pools of blue, looks like oceans and lakes, pure, clear blue. You're going to look in his eyes. Don't ask me why I say blue. My eyes are blue. Maybe that's why. I don't know. You're going to look in there and you're going to see such love. Such love you're going to see that you've never, ever experienced here. I don't care how well he looks at you. It won't be the love that God has for you. You understand? It's pure. And at that moment, you'll say, Lord, I should have done more. I could have done more. Because what that which you love and that loves you, you'll be willing to serve. You understand? When I, in my imperfect way of loving my wife, when I attempt to help her around the house, I'm not sitting there mumbling under my breath all the time. How come I got to do this? Sometimes maybe, I don't. I do it because I love her. And if I could do more, I would do more. I serve Jesus because I love him. Bottom line. And I know when I get to heaven, he'll say to me, Dave, what'd you do? I'll look in his eyes and I'll say, I know I could have done more, Lord. I could have done more. I won't be able to fool him and make excuses. I won't be able to stand before him and say, well, you know, I would have, but I had to get this done at home, and I had to do this over here, and I had to get that done over there. You won't. Because you can't make excuses when you're looking him in the eyes. You have to accept the truth. Do what you can here. Don't let anything out there stop you serving him. Let me go on. I know your works, your labor, your patience. These people are doing everything they knew to do right. They were doing everything. And that you cannot bear those who are evil. Glory to God. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you've persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, have not become weary. Let me ask you a question. Can we all say that's us? You mean the first church he was talking to already has us checking ourselves out? This is only beginning. Let me say it again. Now this is Jesus speaking. Through John, yes, John's writing the words down, but he's speaking. Those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying this morning. Hallelujah. I know your works, Jesus. Just think of him. He's standing right in front of you. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake. And you have not become weary. That's a good church member. Doing everything they know to do. Doing it to the best of their ability. Not growing weary. Staying strong. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, I have this against you. Hallelujah. You would think that would be sufficient for God, that we would have patience, perseverance, labored continuously, not growing weary in well-doing, doing all that God's called us into. Remember, therefore, from where you have... Nevertheless, I have this against you. Excuse me. That you have left your first love. Hallelujah. What's it mean, you left your first love? Let me read something to you. This is Barnes' commentary. Often such persons, sensible that they have erred and that they have not the enjoyment in religion which they once had. In other words, they were saved. They loved going to church. They loved praising God. They loved worshiping Him. They loved serving Him. It was the best part of their life, the best time of their life. You ever get to that place where you're excited about being saved? Amen? I've told you this story many times. I was so excited about being saved. I really was. I was in the Word constantly. I was in church constantly. I mean, we went to church 4 to 5 nights a week. How could you do that? Easy. I love Jesus. And I couldn't get enough of Him. I could not get enough of Him. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm telling you what I was like. And I'll tell you, there was a gentleman there. Huh? No, not Joe. The father of... I can't say it over the... I'll tell you afterwards. He was in his, had to be in his 70s then. One day he looked at me and he said, the day will come. I said, what do you mean, day will come? He said, the day will come you won't be so filled with joy and doing all these things. He said, as you get older, you're going to realize you'll just slow right down. You won't be as excited as you used to be. And I said to Diane, I said, if I'm ever like that, take me out and shoot me. True. This is what happens over time. A young Christian comes in, gets excited about God, gets involved in every aspect of the ministry, looking for things to do, watching, asking. We did everything in the church. From counting the finances, to being in the sound room, to being an usher, to being in the children's ministry. I mean, you name it. If there was a ministry in the church, the only thing we didn't do was sing up front. I didn't anyways. They didn't let me. They wouldn't let me. Amen. Praise God. That's all right. But anything that I had the ability to do, we got involved in. And we did it as long as we were there. Why? Because it made me popular, made me something? No. Was there times I got tired? Yes. Was there times I'd rather sat at home? Yes. But we didn't. We carried Christopher, who was our son at that time. Every place we went, he was with us. Because we couldn't leave him alone. And we couldn't leave him with babysitters. But it never stopped us from doing it. Not once. You sit in a service where worship's going on and praise is going on. And all of a sudden your son has a grand mal seizure. If you've never heard one of those, it's tough. It was tough at times, but God's grace was more than sufficient. I love him more today than I've ever loved him before. I'm more excited about being part of his church and being part of his kingdom than ever before. My sad part is that I can't do as much as I used to just because the physical aspects aren't there as it used to be. You see this building? This building was redone by this church. By a lot of it, by me personally. Because a lot of people were working. I was in here working while they were there. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Whatever you find to do, do as unto the Lord. And because somebody else won't, you do it. Your reward will come. You will find out what it means when you ask him and he says yes. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Listen, let me start this again. Often such persons, sensible that they have not... I'm reading from Barnes, which is in Old English a little bit, so... Often such persons, sensible that they have erred and that they have not the enjoyment in religion which they once had, profess to be willing and desirous to return. In other words, he's saying they want to come back, but they don't know how. They want to be filled with that love, that ardor, that desire, they don't know how to get there. He said they don't know how to rekindle in their bosom the flame of extinguished love. They suppose it must be by silent meditation or by some supernatural influence. And they wait for some visitation from above to call them back, to restore them to their former joy. The counsel to the Savior to all such, however, is this, to do their first works. It is to engage at once in doing what they did in the first and best days of their piety, the days of their espousals to God. Let them read the Bible as they did then. Let them pray as they did then. Let them go forth in the duties of active benevolence, in other words, being a blessing to others as they did then. Let them engage in teaching a Sunday school as they did then. Let them relieve the distressed, instruct the ignorant, raise up the fallen as they did then. let them open their heart, their purse, and their hand to bless a dying world. As it was in this way that they manifested their love then, so this would be better suited than all other things to rekindle the flame of love when it is almost extinguished. He said this, you left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent, and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. The lampstand is the light or the glory of God. The glory of God is manifested as each individual, each member, takes its part in the body, unites together in one accord in the spirit of peace and love, and brings glory from the Father, the Son, and His Holy Spirit. Many children of God began out excited, just filled with the joy of the Lord, just filled with the love of God, got involved in doing all these wondrous things, and then because of the love of this world, the cares of this world, and all the things that are around them that kind of get just stuck up inside of them, and all they can think about is what they have to achieve to finish the job that God they got out there in the world, and they forget about what God has called them to in the church. What happened? They left their first love. Not that they did away with it. They didn't lose that first love. They just not walking in it the way God intended them to do. That love will never leave. God loves you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we do. We turn away. We go someplace else. We find our joy in the world. We find our happiness out there. Even happiness. Why do you think he said one time, which many people have a struggle with, unless you hate your mother and father more than me, you can't have the kingdom of God. What's he saying? To hate your parents? To hate your wife? To hate your children? To hate? No. He said, your love for me must be so much that it seems as if the other part is not important to you. That's hard. Now we know God tells us to love one another. So he's not telling us to escape, not love one another, and not to be a blessing to one another, not to be there for one another. But what he's saying is, your first love for me, unless that is in me, then you will never see the fullness of the true love that you can have for one another. It'll seem like hate. Because a natural man's love for one another depended upon what they do for them. Our love for God is what He's done for us. He's already accomplished it. We don't love Him more because He does something for us today. We love Him because of what He did at the cross at Calvary. And when you operate out of that love, your love for one another will grow exponentially. You'll be beyond. Then the church all of a sudden becomes the glorious place that God intended it to be. I don't know if anybody here is there. If you've left that first love. If you've looked at other things and all of a sudden you just... You know, I was so excited about serving God. I was so excited, but I got this going on in my life, and I got that going on in my life, and I got this going on in my life, and I got that going on in my life. I'm just busy, that's all. I just got a lot of things. God knows I love Him. God knows my heart. Don't tell Him that, because He does. We can deceive ourselves, but we can't deceive God. God said it this way, I won't be mocked. Whatever you sow, so shall you reap. David, when you look at David, David wasn't perfect. He did a lot of things wrong. God understands that. And God is not condemning us. There's no condemnation in Christ. He's not there destroying us. He said, listen, I've seen, I've watched, I've even experienced, I've seen what you've done for me. I've seen all the works you've done. I've seen how you stayed strong walking with me on a daily basis. I've seen all that. I know that. But there is something that's missing. It isn't just like it used to be. You don't serve me with the same heart. You don't love me like you used to. Kind of slowed down, and now all of a sudden you're more concerned about what you get from there than you were from me. We were watching, we were singing today, and there are some things we want to share with you in a few minutes, but all of a sudden, when I started thinking on those things, tears started coming and things started bothering me. And the Lord just lovingly said, look at me, look on me, think on me. Get your heart off that, get your mind off that. You can't change that. But if you keep your mind on me, you'll find peace. Amen. You'll find comfort. You got to get your mind off. Sometimes when you got things going on, get your mind off those things. That doesn't bring you life. Put your heart and mind on that which you love the most. And from that which you love the most, prayerfully, being Jesus Christ, your need will be met. And all of a sudden, you'll be engulfed in the glory of God. And the glory of God will keep you separated from what's going on around you. It doesn't mean we ignore it. We don't pretend it isn't there. But we deal with it out of the grace and mercy of God, rather than out of our own way of looking at things. Go back to the first love. Go back. Repent. Turn around. Make him your first love again. Nobody else will know it. Not yet, because it takes time. Amen? It takes time. Make him first love. Rekindle that joy, that excitement, that fervor. Go back. It's not too late. It's never too late. He said, but this that you have, that you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. The Nicolaitans were a cult of Christians, or at least called Christians, within the body of Christ itself. And these were people who tried to set up church the way they wanted it done, not the way God wanted it done. So what they did was they made a group of people and they would vote on what to do or not to do. And so what they were doing, instead of listening to what the Spirit was saying, they're listening to what each other was saying and never seeing what God wanted to accomplish. We can't be doing church based on man's desires. It has to be that those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying will follow the Spirit, and by the grace of God. And that's why it's critical for you to have an ear to hear, because there's coming a day and a time, and matter of fact, it's here right now. It is here right now. You can listen to stuff, and unless you know it's from God, you can be deceived and led astray. Hear me. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how it sounds. I don't care any of that stuff. The first thing when I hear these things and I listen to messages, I sit back and I say, Lord, is this you? I need to have an ear to hear, because I do not want to be led astray by others. I remember it wasn't too long ago. I heard a message and I really got stirred by the message. I went out and bought some books. I don't know if you remember that. But I still got the books. There's probably about, I don't know, 7 of them or so. They're still brand new ones. I was going to hand them out for different people to read. And then we went on, and I got the books, and I started, wait a minute, something's not right here. And I just took the books, put them on the shelf, and there they sit. Why? Because sometimes you can get deceived if you're not listening to what the Spirit is saying. You get moved by what somebody says, and all of a sudden you'll be out there. Away. Back off. Sit. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. Let Him confirm what you're hearing to be truth. And you'll have victory. You'll have power. But what's He say at the end? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes. We talked about overcoming, right? Victory. Conquering. Overcome what? Overcome loving something else more than Him. Removing Him from that first love. Removing Him from the first in your life. The service you have for Him must be first. And He said, overcome that. I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the midst of paradise of God. What is the tree of life? You remember the tree of life was first found in our scriptures in Genesis, correct? And that was in the midst of the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, and God removed them from the garden, what did He do? He put an angel in front of the garden, right? Why? So that Adam and Eve couldn't go back and eat from the tree of life, because if they had, they would have continued in sin for all eternity. So when God removed them from the garden, it was because of God's love for them, not as chastisement. God loved them enough to keep them from the tree of life. Let me show you. In Genesis. Hallelujah. Let's just look at that real quick. Wait a minute. I gotta find my stuff. Give me my stuff, Lord. Genesis 3, I think it is. Here it is. That's it. Genesis is someplace in the beginning. In case you're wondering. All right. Genesis chapter 3, verse 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. The tree of life is also found in Revelation 22, if you go into there. And he's talking about the tree of life in paradise or in heaven. There's a tree of life up there. And that tree of life up there has 12 fruits. And he said, for the healing of the nations. So God is saying to us, if you overcome this thing, I will give you the opportunity to be in paradise with me, eating from the tree of life. Is it important? Is it important to get back to the first love? Is it important? I believe it to be so. I believe it to be so. Now we can talk about this, and I'm going to close in a second here. I can talk about this that, all right, are you talking about, and we talked, Dave and I talked a little bit, and we talked many times about this subject, being saved, once saved, and always saved, or not so. In other words, I don't have to worry about it because God says, I'm saved. That's a subject for another day. But He said this to him, unless you repent, return to your first love, I'll take the candlestick and you won't be part of my church. You can gather together, you can come here, you can fill up buildings all day long. You can raise your hands and pray. You can dance in front of everybody and get all sweaty. But it doesn't mean that God's involved in it. If you're going to live this life, there's one of two ways to live it. with God, without God. Each of us makes that choice. If you say, I want to live this life in the life eternal with God, then we got to make sure He's our first love. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Give you praise and glory. Father, as we search the scriptures, you said in it we will find you. And we will find life. Life forevermore. Help us this day, Father. And I pray, Father, for understanding. I pray, Father, for divine revelation. If this is for me, Lord, or for any one of us, you bring that revelation to us that we may hear what the Spirit is saying. We may do as He instructs us to do. At the church of Ephesus, you were saying, return to your first love. Father, if we have walked away from our first love, if we have incorporated other things, if we have turned to the world again, or whatever it is, Lord, we repent now. And we turn back and do those first things that you've called us to do. Reading more of the Word, Father. Praying more, Father. Fasting if necessary. Whatever it is, Lord, that we were doing the first time, we ask for forgiveness. We repent and return back to those first works because we want Jesus to be our first love. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You got any, Miss Diane? Do you have any? Diane's going to give us some announcements.